Today is the third part of my Lenten message series, which is entitled Daily Discipleship. We're all called to be disciples. A basic definition of a disciple is one who consciously and personally commits themselves to following Jesus within the church. And each week I take a different attribute of what a disciple is all about. And each week there's a worksheet, which you can find on my website, just with a couple of questions to kind of tease out what we're talking about. Now, let me put it bluntly, kind of a smash in the face, but G.K. Chesterton says that, and you've heard this, just because we go to church every Sunday does not make us a Christian any more than standing in our garage makes us an automobile. So, if we're not necessarily Christians just because we come to church, we're certainly not disciples just because we come to church. So a disciple is one who intentionally works at becoming a disciple. It's not automatic. Just because we receive the sacraments, it's not automatic. We have to work at it. So the first week, the attribute was this one: a disciple knows the story. A disciple knows the story of salvation. And the textbook for that story is the Bible. We as disciples have to know the story of salvation. We have to be able to sit down with someone and say, this is how it began, this is how it played out, and this is how it's ending. And in today's download, I have, I think it's 5 or 6 points to begin with, to memorize very easily, just really basically one word, to get to the story so that we can tell it. Because if we can't tell our story, well, what does it say about us as followers of the Lord? So the ability to tell the story, to know the Bible, basically, is the first attribute. The second attribute is one is having a growing, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely essential. And again, just like with regular human friendships, you got to work at it. You have to work at a relationship with Jesus. So we're talking about not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. Absolutely essential. And we find that relationship growing through the Bible, through Scripture, through prayer, through working out our discipleship as servants of the community. But we have to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, the attribute is a disciple is one who is a faithful member of the church, a faithful member of the church, who does their discipleship, learns their discipleship through the body of Christ, the church on earth, with the help of the church in heaven. But there comes a point where we think, and I think that's true of our cradle Catholics, that, you know, we can do it on our own. No, God created the church, and it was in his mind before he created the world, as his sort of vehicle, his community, to help people become disciples so that they could go out into the world and tell other people about the story so that other people could become members of God's church and to be faithful and to learn how to go deeper and deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ and be really, truly strong disciples. So the church is absolutely essential to discipleship. It's absolutely essential to salvation. We believe that all of the graces, the gifts of God, come to us through the church. So it's important, then, that we are members of the church and faithful members. And an attribute that goes along with that is obedience. Obedience. We have to be obedient members of the church. Now, that doesn't mean we close our eyes and things to that may rub us the wrong way or whatever. But Abraham, as we heard last week, was obedient. Because he was obedient, he was called righteous. Because he could have said to God, no, I'm not going to leave this area where I've lived for hundreds of years and moved to this place without any guarantees. No, he did. He was obedient. God said, this is what I want, and this is what I want for you, In order for it to happen, you have to do this. God had a covenant with Abraham. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son. He was obedient. He listened, and that's what obedience means, listening. Listening, and then if we don't understand something, finding out what it means, going deeper into our faith. So Abraham was obedient. He was righteous. And today's a reading from Exodus. Moses was obedient. He was obedient to God. God said, this is what I want you to do, Moses. And of course, Moses said, well, who am I? Who am I to go to this Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go? But God said, no, I've chosen you. And not only did Moses listen, he obeyed. He went. Now, we're told that Moses was not a great speaker, and some people thought he was a stutterer. Now, of course, Moses probably, you know, I'm a stutterer. You want me to go to Pharaoh and make a fool of myself? Well, that's where the genius of the church, because even the Hebrews were a member of the church way back then, because the word they kept using was assembly, which means church. But Moses found his strength through the church by pairing up with his brother Aaron, right? So Aaron was a good speaker, and Moses wasn't. So here, two by two, even back then, God is sending them out two by two, helping one another through the church to be a strong and understanding and committed and righteous group of people who did the will of God. So even at the beginning of scriptures, we have a commitment and obedience to the community that God has put together. Now, of course, as we go through Exodus, we realize that just because God worked these miracles for them didn't mean they were obedient. And we know that. They kept grumbling against Moses, grumbling against God. And Moses kept mediating and intervening and say, God, don't destroy them, please. And God listened to Moses. There was that wonderful relationship, a very personal relationship. And so Moses was able to bring ultimately a remnant of the people into the promised land. But as we know, because of their disobedience, the first generation died in the desert over the course of 40 years as they wandered. And then the next generation was faithful and obedient, so they got into the promised land. And they did it as a group, not as individuals. So again, the church that we would call, let's say, the Hebrews or the Israelites or the Jews, you know, they stuck together, they went into the promised land, and they inherited this land flowing with milk and honey. But they were obedient as a community. But again, the story, and we have to tell this as part of the story, we know that again and again and again, those who were chosen by God to be the promised people, to be the leaders, they sinned, they turned away from God, so forth and so on. They were punished, and yet God was also merciful. So that's also part of the church. This is where we find mercy, where we find forgiveness. So we as Catholics, the church is very important because look what we're doing right now. We're celebrating the greatest sacrament there is, and it only comes through the church, the sacrament of the Eucharist, where we come and we hear God speaking to us through the words of Scripture, and we receive his very flesh, which is real food, divine, physical, the real thing that becomes part of our flesh. It's through this sacrament that is given to us through the church. And all the sacraments are given to us through the church. You don't find them outside the church. Nobody can just sit down and do this or that. So we're all baptized through the church, into the church, into Jesus Christ. We're confirmed through the church, into Jesus Christ. We become available then to all the gifts that God wants to give us so that we can be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. The graces that we need, the blessings that we need and want, come to us through the church. Now again, we're all imperfect, and you know, we're stumbling, we sin, and yet God works through us. And the more we attend to what God is calling us to do and be, the stronger we become, the more open we become to the gifts, for example, of the Holy Spirit, so that we can take these gifts develop them, practice them, and then use them to go out into the world and bring more people into the church so that other people can be saved, so that other people can find mercy, so that other people can find joy. So it's a group program. It's a community program, so to speak, and it's called the church for us as Catholics. So it's very, very important that we look at that and say, if I want to be a disciple, I have to be a faithful son and daughter of the church. And again, it doesn't mean we're perfect. We have renewers and reformers all through the history of the church who have pointed out to the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the church, whether they be pope, bishop, or layperson, you're going the wrong way, turn back. We have Francis of Assisi, Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, and these are gifts through the church, from the church, to tell us this is what a real disciple looks like. You want to be a disciple? Okay, be like Paul. Be like Paul, be like Peter. They admitted that they were great sinners, but they found the mercy and forgiveness of God. And as they kept asking for that forgiveness and mercy, as they kept asking for the gifts of the Spirit and received them and used them, they gave up everything for God. We're told by the saints, everything means nothing except living the life that God calls us to, getting to know Jesus Christ. He's it. He's it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So if I want to be a disciple, not just a churchgoer or a pew sitter, I have to be intentional about learning to be a disciple. And we're supposed to be helping one another. Now, there may be some disciples here, and a disciple knows that one of their calls is to disciple other people, to show them how it's done. Again, that's why we have the saints. They were disciples. We look at any of them. We read their stories, and we're going, wow, I don't know if I could do that. Well, we could do it in our own way because we have access to the same blessings, the same graces, the same gifts of the Holy Spirit. But do we know that? Do we know the teachings of the church? You know, if I said to you, name five charisms that Paul brings up in his letters, could you tell me what those five charisms, there's many more, but could you tell me five of them? Could you say to them, I know that God has given me this charism and that charism because not only have I studied and prayed about it, but I practiced it to actually do it so I can show you the results of the charisms that I have been given. Now, we should be talking like that. That's what disciples do. They talk like that. Yeah. It's like the charisms are second nature. Yeah, God gives some people the gift of raising people from the dead. He does. In this day and age, he does. Happens around the world. Some people have the charism of evangelization. And it's not that they're just naturally good. I know we Catholics are really good about, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't be like the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, it's too bad we're not more like them, willing to go out and say, I believe, and therefore I am going to share this belief with others. But in any of these charisms, we have to work at them so that our discipleship is rooted in Jesus Christ through the church. So here we are in a building called the church, but the real church is Jesus Christ and all of us who are part of his body. So, again, this third attribute of discipleship is one of obedient participation in and through the church, which is God's will. You know, it's not something human beings made up to put us, make us jump through hoops, but it's God's will that we do this so that we can show the world the joy, the mercy, the justice that God wants to bring to every single human being in the world. And if you look at the news, it's kind of like, we're not doing a very good job, are we? Something's not right here. We Christians are kind of just sitting back and being just maybe pew sitters when, in fact, we have a lot of power to draw from. There's no stealth missile. There's no nuclear bomb that's stronger than faith in Jesus Christ. But are we tapping into it? Are we really disciples that say, okay, Lord, Give it to me. I'm ready. Do whatever you want with me, because I want to be your faithful disciple. And discipleship is open to every single person. God does not play favorites. If we say to God, okay, God, that's what I want to be, lead me, he will lead us. He will lead us to a group of people who are committed to discipleship. He will draw us to them, and together we will work together to become the disciples who are consciously, personally committed to Jesus Christ through his church. So we got a lot of work to do, right? And it's good work. It's wonderful work. We can never be comfortable. We can never say, I've done enough. You know, in our country, everybody looks forward to retirement. Half the people don't know what to do in retirement. The men usually have a heart attack the day after they retire because suddenly, you know, they're not going to work. Well, if you're retired, boy, what a great time to really focus on discipleship if we've not been focusing on that before. So young and old, doesn't matter. We can be led by children. We can be led by seniors. We can be led by Gen Zers. It doesn't matter. It's wherever the spark of Christ gets into a big flame, becomes a great flame. That's where we are called to burn ourselves in the goodness of God so that we can be shining pure gold in the world. So every one of us is called to be a discipleship, and it's up to us to individually and collectively as a church say, this is how I'm going to grow as a disciple. I'm going to take all these attributes. I'm going to study them. I'm going to partner up with 3-4 people. We're going to hold each other accountable so that we can go deeper into our faith and be real strong disciples. And as you know, we need that more than ever today because of all the things that are going on in our world. Strong disciples, that's what God calls all of us to be. And it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, to be obedient, lead me, guide me, so that we can be an Abraham, we can be a Moses, we can be a David, we can be a John the Baptist, we can be a Paul, we can be a Peter, people who truly went deep into their faith and are real strong disciples.